Looking very smart, sir. How are you? You put your favorite jacket on just for me tonight? Well, today, I say tonight. It's tonight here today for me. How are you, brother? You okay?
Yeah, man, just getting in the door from the office, so just
Yeah.
ripped on upstairs.
Is that your day today then? Are you now that you're big boss? Is it jackets every day for you now then?
Oh yeah. Oh
I
yeah.
love
Even
it.
back in the day.
Yeah, love it, mate. Love it. I'm only used to seeing any training gear when I was at Mavati, you see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything good?
Oh yeah. Oh
Yeah.
yeah.
Good, good. Hey, Darren, how are you, buddy? Happy New Year, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Sorry, I was having trouble with my keyboard here. Ding, ding,
That's
dong. Happy New
okay.
Year, everybody. I hope everyone's doing well.
Yeah, good start to the year, buddy.
Yeah, no, things are starting well. I'm fully in now. I'm doing the full labs program, all that kind of thing. So
Nice.
that just all kind of came to be in the last days. So we're just getting all the prep work done
Amazing.
to get that started. So very interesting conversations coming up.
Yeah, well, you won't regret it, mate. I'll tell you firsthand, kind of you took the biggest step. And as Tyler will tell you, obviously Tyler's just started with me as well. And obviously Chris, who's in the room as well, he's been with me for a little while now. The importance of just tying everything together, Darren, and obviously kind of really coupling, because I'm sure you've trained in the past and continue to train, but being able to see what's under the hood and really delving deep into the training, nutrition, supplementation, and gearing it towards genetics, digestive system, and all those sort of things is going to be game changing. Because as we know, we can all train, we can all eat well, but as I'll talk about today, kind of eating well is subjective, right? You could be eating the right types of foods or those foods that are seen as health foods, but ultimately it's not eliciting the response we want. So being able to really look under the hood with your bloods, digestive function, your genetics as well, because I was saying to Tyler, kind of, I'm sure he won't mind me saying, obviously he's coming in on a little bit more of a higher fat diet and those sort of things, whereas hopefully we'll get his genetics off in the next few days once we get the return label sorted. But again, looking at certain genes, obviously that you're potentially predisposed to not being able to accept fat. So for those guys that have typically gone down the fashionable recent route recently of kind of a keto-based diet with a lot of fat, some people aren't genetically predisposed to that sort of thing. So really getting a good in-depth look under the hood is going to be important to kind of really see what's going on, mate. So I know you won't regret it, and it should be awesome. So I'm looking forward to hearing your future progression as well, buddy.
Yeah, for sure. Like Matt, with Matt and I going back and forth a little bit as well, because it took me a year to make the decision. I've been here since
Yeah.
last December, but I'm just
Yeah.
that guy. Like, I wanted to get a feel for it. At 56, I've had a half a dozen programs through my
Yeah.
years. Nothing like this, I have to say that. This is far different. Just the level of people that I think are involved and
Yeah.
is far, far different. And I've known Ben for 20 years, so
Yeah.
that it was an easy transaction, so to speak. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, welcome, mate. It's great to have you fully on board now. How are you,
Thanks,
Chris?
guys.
How are you getting on? Well, you okay, buddy?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yep. Hear you loud and clear, bud.
Yeah, doing well, Dan. Doing
Yeah,
well, man.
good.
Excited to hit the ground running this new year.
Good, good, good. And George, Paul, Rob, welcome, boys. Happy New Year. I don't think you guys were here when I said Happy New Year. How is everybody? How was your Christmas and New Year? Kind of how's the year started for you boys? You go first, George. I don't want to put you all on the spot at the same time. You're off mute, buddy, but I think your sound's down a little bit.
Still can't hear me?
Yeah, there you are, bud. How are you, bud?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. First name's Andrew, actually. I don't know why it's showing up like that, but
Are you sure you're not sure you prefer George? I don't know whether I prefer George or Andrew. I think the choice I got Daniel, which was
when
terrible.
you got three first names, you got
Yeah.
to go by any of them. I'll take anything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
How's
no,
yours?
doing good. Just first week back.
Yeah.
Was in the community last year for a while with Chris,
Nice.
Chris Budge, and working with Andrew this time around.
Nice.
So yeah, just excited to
Well,
get back.
good to have you back, buddy. Welcome back. Paul, how are you, my friend? You well? How was your Christmas festive season?
Low key, just stayed in for
But
most of it.
yeah, same. I've said to a few people, kind of, it was just, it sounds very dramatic, but it's just me and the dog for Christmas and New Year because my son went to his mum's and I really enjoyed it. I had salmon and potatoes for quote unquote Christmas dinner and I wasn't mad at it. So yeah, I'm in your vein of form, mate. Quiet for the win, bit of solitude, never did anybody any harm, right?
Nope, not at
Yeah. And what's plan what you got planned for 2026, buddy? Give me an insight into your goals for 2026. Have you got them set?
Got to call with Coach Andrew to go over back and forth throughout this Saturday just to finalize that.
Yeah.
Only thing I really have at this point is continuing working towards a 1,000 pound club.
Yeah. Nice. So that's going to be achieved this year. That's a big goal to have, mate. And I'm sure, as always, I know you're going to smash it anyway. And I don't really want to come to you, Rob, because I know it's really warm over there and I'd rather stick with everybody that's cold. I've seen your updates, 115. And to be honest, I don't really want to speak to you because I'm a bit jealous. But how was your, I would say, festive period, but how is it roasting over there, buddy?
Yeah, no, he wants to talk to anyone in the Southern Hemisphere this time of year, so.
Absolutely. I've got a couple of clients over there, mate, and I despise the fact that one of them takes it outside just to show off that it's really warm over there at the moment.
A nice time of year. Yeah, look, Christmas was great. I was camping with the kids and the family near the beach up at near Coffs Harbour for a week, then caught up with my wife's cousins in a big Airbnb for the second week, which was the opposite of solitude. It was 9 kids, 12 adults, but huge, big property. And we all just hung around the house and kids swam in the pool. It was pretty awesome.
Nice. But good time all the same, right?
Yeah.
Good. I won't get Max on here because Max is for those of you guys don't know, I'm massive into football, so is Max, and he's a Chelsea fan. I'm an Arsenal fan. And up until about 30 minutes ago, Arsenal had just beat Chelsea 3-2. So I know his camera's not on, but wishing you well, Max. Yes, you might be eating, but 3-2, buddy. It's a win for the Gunners tonight. So apologies to you. But happy birthday for the other day as well, brother. And Pat, Mike, welcome, guys. I know your cameras aren't on, so I won't get you on if you're busy. We'll jump straight into it. So today, guys, as you know the format for the calls, we're going to go, well, start off a year with a little bit of break in the cycle. So as you will have seen, the clue's in the name, as you guys have heard me that have heard me speak before, and you guys that haven't. Okay, I'll do a little slideshow, but essentially for me, the goal is to answer a lot of your guys' questions. So at any point during the slides, kind of please do jump in, kind of ask me any questions regarding anything that I'm talking about, or even speak about experiences. Because for me, it's important that kind of we understand it, but it's relatable. So anytime that I teach or kind of do these sort of presentations, I want you to be able to apply the things we talk about, or today's more of an understanding what I'm talking about, the bears relevance to your current state, or potentially, I would imagine today, to what you've been through before. So we can go over it, talk through any struggles or any kind of pain points that we find, and really get you a solution. So, as I said today is more about kind of, well, the title of the slideshow, and there's only a few slides today, is Breaking the Cycle, Why You Quit After Progress. And I'm sure we've all been there, right? We've all done programs before, we've all done kind of journeys before, and we've lost a little bit of weight, gained a little bit of muscle, we've plateaued, we've stopped. Other things have kind of come to the fore that have kind of stopped us. So today is very much around understanding the psychological effects of things like self-sabotage, looking at things like the biology of kind of progress and regression. But I think important to start with for me is what I talk to a lot of my guys about primarily is this journey as a whole. So training, nutrition, operating systems, 16-hour audit. It's taken away the stigma of kind of it's a process of 8 weeks, 16 weeks, 52 weeks. And we've all got goals set and we should all have goals set. But I think kind of having ever moving goalposts is super important because throughout my 20-year career, kind of I've seen it a lot where when people say they're on a diet or they typify or use words to kind of describe what they're doing, it almost creates an end date where people, spouses, friends will go back to, oh, when you're eating normally, when do you finish your diet? Whereas With a lot of my guys, what I like to talk about is kind of becoming, I talk about the analogy of old normal, new normal. So you'll hear a lot of kind of identity-based things today. But I think for me, I was saying on a call earlier on today to one of my clients is kind of the stigma around particularly food at the moment, kind of, and the emotional eating cycle in regards to the reward and the dopamine hit people get from food is people will categorize food. So good food, bad food, right food, wrong food. But in my opinion, there's no such thing. Okay. For those of you that are on this journey, I'm hoping that this journey and this change that you're going to be making is going to be a forever change. So rather than attaching stigmas to food, rather than looking at good and bad, right and wrong, my view is kind of with food, how we look at it is there's food that's conducive to your goal and food that's non-conducive. Obviously, those of you guys that are having your genetics and you're doing your bloods and your stool testing and those sort of things, kind of we can get a little bit more specific. But I think from an internal dialogue standpoint, taking out the stigma of categorizing things from a food perspective, but also from a process and a journey perspective are going to be super important because going from basing all your actions around identity are going to be more, well, they're going to be more fulfilling, and the chance of that unconscious change that's going to come with that is going to be far greater. So you'll hear as I talk through the slides tonight that kind of change doesn't happen on a whim. And a lot of the actions, and I'm sure if I ask each one of you guys kind of for a limitation in regards to an Achilles heel, we can tie it back to not so much kind of the fact that you failed or kind of you haven't got the ability to do it. It's just a lack of an operating system. It's a lack of kind of understanding around this actual specific thing not being tied to your identity of who you want to become and the actions that you're instilling from a habits perspective aren't naturally aligning. So I think for me, understanding kind of the whole theory around kind of why you quit after progress by not kind of pigeonholing yourself to one goal and kind of getting to the end of that goal without having another goal set is going to be vitally important. And going back to what I said a little bit earlier, the whole theory of kind of moving the goalposts. So once you start to achieve a goal, we know, and I'll talk through it in a second in regards to the effect that it has on things like dopamine and those sort of things. So just bear that in mind as we move through the slideshow today and just kind of understand that kind of a lot of people typically demonize themselves for making mistakes or kind of, let me just stop sharing that. So making mistakes when it comes to kind of not being able to stick to nutrition or kind of missing workouts, but it's a lot deeper than that when we look at it from a biological standpoint. So I'm just going to share my slides now. So as you guys know, kind of for me, it's just kind of going through, as you guys that have heard me speak before, and for those of you guys that haven't, massive into the psychology of things and kind of understanding kind of the thought process around everything. So we're going to start the slides with obviously the biology of progress and regression. And what I've tried to do with each of these three slides is just put a little subheading. So essentially, the subheading for this one is your body isn't wired for progress, it's wired for predictability and conservation. So that brings us into our first point. So if we look at the biology around progression and regression, there's two key things that we're going to be looking at: homeostasis and allostasis. So obviously, we know homeostasis is our body's kind of ability to balance everything out. So I talk about duality a lot. So from a psychology perspective, there's no positive without a negative. There's no negative charge without a positive. And everything that we find in life, and this applies to everything, has an element of duality where it's a balance. It's Newton's cradle. If there's more testosterone, there's less estrogen, and everything almost operates on a balance. So homeostasis is essentially your body resist to change just typically to maintain that internal balance. So when it's off kilter, both either negatively or positively. So again, when we look at kind of the progress you're making in regards to getting ahead of steam with all your workouts, your body's still fighting really hard to regain that internal balance and bring you back to relative homeostasis. Then we look at allostasis. So typically your body will adapt anticipatory to repeated stimuli. So training, diet, potential negative exposure. So, and but as progress tends to progress, so things like fat loss, strength gains, your discipline and your actions start to improve, your body's going to push back. Because remember, our body's always trying to regain that kind of relative homeostasis, so that balance. So even if you are in a positively progressive state, your body still wants you to bring yourself back to normal. So when we're looking at kind of sympathetic drive, obviously when that's sympathetic drive, we try to have parasympathetic to balance it out. So it's important to understand from a biology perspective that even when you are kind of knocking the walls down and you're flying through every and achieving all your goals, your body's still working really hard to try to bring you back to that relative homeostasis. So with kind of obviously allostasis itself, the key responses to this and what can happen when we're bringing things back is things like elevated cortisol, reduced thyroid output. So things like reduced T3, reduced le so obviously you guys have been there where you've been in a calorie deficit. Okay. So a calorie deficit, the body fat's coming off, you're achieving great results. The responses that are going to happen from an allostasis standpoint for your body to try to regain that is those sort of things. So cortisol is going to be elevated, reduced leptin and ghrelin, which are just your hunger and kind of craving hormones. You're going to typically, if you're in a dieting phase, going to get a bit of CNS, central nervous system fatigue, which typically will lead to a little bit more tiredness. It's going to increase kind of or decrease potentially sleep efficiency, which in turn could potentially reduce that motivation. So even in a positive kind of light, and you're in a calorie deficit, you're getting all your expenditure and you're losing body fat, you're in great shape, your body's still trying to regain that balance and kind of reach that relative homeostasis. So your biology, in essence, kind of doesn't really care about your goals. It cares about survival. Our body is designed to protect and survive. So at all points, whether positive and negative, that body's just trying to reach that relative homeostasis. So that can have a positive, sorry, and negative effect on both progression and regression similarly. So then we look at something like dopaminergic downregulation. So typically, dopamine as a hormone is going to be primarily used as a fuel for motivation. But you'll find with dopamine in isolation, it's typically based on pursuit and not attainment. So while you're really kind of trying to achieve that thing, dopamine's ramped up. But once you get there, you might find that dopamine plummets because that kind of pursuit isn't there now. So the drop itself can feel like apathy, a little bit of burnout, or even sometimes a loss of purpose. And a great example that I choose to look at in as an example of this dopaminergic downregulation is if any of you guys follow boxing, right? Okay, so if you follow boxing, hopefully you've heard of a British fighter called Tyson Fury, who became a world champion. And then he did a report, or well, he did an interview, and he showed that kind of when he became world champion, he fell into deep depression, contemplated suicide, kind of he lost all desire for life. And he was suicidal. He came out and did a massive kind of two-part series on kind of the depths of hell that he went to, and it all coincided with him becoming world champion. And one of his statements that I remember was he'd reached the peak of the mountain. So he all his life he trained and boxed as a junior all the way up through the ranks, and he finally became world champion. And that's a pro and then once he became world champion, obviously that dopamine, that drive, that desire all dropped, and he plummeted into depression, suicidal thoughts, and those sort of things. So that's a sign that even with people that are at the top of the game, it happens. So that just exemplifies that kind of dopamine itself is based primarily on the pursuit, which for me, kind of looking at healthy dopamine, and you will have heard Ben speak about this a lot. A lot of us as males, primates, kind of throughout our lives has chased dopamine in the wrong situations and in unhealthy situations. Whereas if we learn from a challenge perspective to challenge and chase dopamine in an effective manner, that's going to reaffirm that success, and we're not going to get those pigs and troughs where we achieve something, we drop off and run the risk of kind of regressing from that progress, or essentially hitting a peak and then just stopping. Because I'm sure a few of us on the call or listening to this call will have hit the desired goal, and then 3 to 6 months later, they're back at stage one. They're back to where they come. And then some. I've seen it in my career with clients that have had a goal for a holiday. They've achieved a result for the holiday. They come back from holiday. I check in with them. I don't hear from them from 2 or 3 months. And lo and behold, when I see them again, they're back to square one, because what they've not done is based their habits around a new normal, an actual authentic identity change as well. Okay. So that down regulation of dopamine, again, is to remember that dopamine is based on pursuit and not attainment itself. Then we move into the last part of the biology, which is energy budgeting and essentially the brain's default mode. So those of you guys that have heard me speak before know I like to get a little bit more in depth into the brain. So again, from an energy perspective, the basal ganglia, obviously, which is a small part of your brain, will typically automate your routine behaviors to conserve energy. Okay, so if we go back a few kind of webinars ago that I taught, kind of the basal ganglia's main function is to basically fine-tune voluntary movements by acting as almost a little bit of a gatekeeper. Okay, so the basal ganglia itself will automate routine behaviors to conserve energy, whereas kind of new habits like training, clean eating, kind of discipline in sleep and really ordered routine rely more so on the prefrontal cortex. So that's more high effort, slow. So kind of under stress or fatigue, typically your brain's going to default to the old routine. So it's going to kind of go back into that basal ganglia dominance, and it's going to preserve energy. So rather when we do regress or things don't go to plan, so the festive period is a great view with a lot of my guys. I've spoke to them about it being kind of a period of almost a period of maintenance, but from a comparative standpoint, those are the guys that came into the service during 2025. Rather than look at, oh my god, kind of I've regressed or stayed the same, I said, right, if we analyze Christmas 2026, was the choices you made, was your training efficiency better than 2025 before you started this process? Every single one of my clients was yes. So for me, it's a positive. Okay, so how we choose to look at things and perception is an important thing. Is under and Rob, for instance, I know you've been really busy with work with some crazy targets. So under stress and fatigue, it's important to know that our body will try to revert to type. It will try to kind of conserve energy where possible. So trying to kind of keep your foot on the gas can sometimes feel impossible. It doesn't mean that you failed. It just means that your body's trying to act relative to that homeostasis and preserve energy. So again, from a strategy and an operating system perspective with your coach, it's right looking at kind of the functional capacity that Ben always talks about. What have we got available? And within that time that we have available to put towards this, what can we give? So being very reactive in regards to situations you find yourself to keep constant momentum, as opposed to allowing yourself to regress, which can typically happen with some people. It's kind of an all or nothing mentality. And with a lot of my guys, I always say it's a great skill to have, but it's not proficient for continued long-term success, because I can't have somebody switched on 100% and or off. We've got to find that happy medium where when other things and other parts of life take priority, we can still keep chipping away in the physical realm. And we train, or from a cardiovascular perspective or from a nervous system perspective, we have a desired outcome in the physical realm, no matter how busy you get. And just being able to keep momentum is going to be super important. And then one of the other points off the energy kind of continuum is kind of, I've typically called it the energy conservation reflex. So typically, again, kind of your brain will, when you are progressing in a calorie deficit or you're in a really heavy phase or an intense phase of training, the brain will typically respond by lowering your non-exercise activity thermogenesis, so you NEAT. It, again, going back to the point I mentioned a couple ago in regards to decreasing thyroid, and it's essentially, it's not laziness, kind of, it's hypothalamus's way of protecting energy balance and understanding that it is very much Newton's cradle. So understanding that when we do have these lulls or these periods and kind of things aren't going operationally how we want them to, this is where planning comes in and understanding. What I do with my guys is we'll talk about what's the week looking like and kind of what's your scope for fitting everything in. And that's why I always say your conventional kind of following a program off ChatGPT or the internet doesn't typically work because it doesn't adjust with kind of what you've got going on. And understanding that in every goal that you have, whether it be fat loss, muscle building, kind of understanding energy balance and kind of understanding where that relative homeostasis and when to push, when to pull back, and not overstimulate that central nervous system where you're going to get that burnout is going to be super important. So understanding that for me, understanding that the body is typically wired, that top line there, wired for predictability and conservation. It's not required to push hard. So there's got to be periods throughout the process where you push hard, but then you operate kind of almost unconsciously, and then you push hard. But making sure with all of these points from a biological standpoint, there's a goal entrenched. So we're going to move on to the psychology around kind of quitting and self-sabotage, but understand that kind of if we keep moving the goalposts and we've always got a goal to be attained, then from a kind of pushing and pulling perspective, we always know at every part of the continuum where we're at. So we're never taken by surprise. Nothing ever feels too much. And we've got a carefully thought out plan that's going to allow you to keep moving forward and progressing and never get to the point where you feel like, oh, I finished. This journey of life, and those of you guys that are fathers, husbands, partners, friends, kind of the life never stops. It's a constant kind of progressive race, right? It just never ever slows down. And I want you to see this journey of health and fitness and longevity or wherever you find yourself as the same, is it never slows down and it never stops. And we're going to be working on this for the rest of our lives. So having a carefully thought out plan is going to be super important for continued progression and never getting to the point where you feel like kind of, oh, I finished. There's an ever-moving goalpost that just requires to be chased at all times. Okay, and then if we move into the psychology now, so more of the brain stuff of self-sabotage again, subheading there, you never changed who you were, only what you did. Okay, and what I mean by that is essentially kind of identity is deep-rooted in real change, and you hear Ben talk about it on his last couple of podcasts. He's talked a lot about authenticity and identity, and tying a lot of your goals into your identity is going to be super important. So when it comes to things like identity and behavior, you guys have, oops, I've moved you guys off there. You guys have heard me speak about identity and behavior before and understanding kind of how important it is to me in regards to just, let me just let Mike in regards to kind of understanding, and Chris will understand this because we have a lot of chats around identity and kind of living to your true beliefs of who you are, because a lot of times we are suppressed. So for me, understanding identity and behavior comes down to things like self-concept and perception. So if subconsciously and no matter what you say to your coach, there is still an overweight bearing feeling that you're still overweight, you're always busy, you're always burned out. So the superlatives, and you've heard me speak about internal dialogue and us having up to 20 to 30,000 internal dialogues a day, conscious and subconscious. Okay, so if you're overbearing kind of internal dialogues, let's say negatively derived, not negative, but negatively derived. I'm always burned out, I'm always tired, I'm always busy. From a kind of psychological standpoint, you'll unconsciously self-sabotage yourself and any actions that contradict it. Okay, behavior that is typically inconsistent with identity will often cause cognitive dissonance, which quite often your brain's always going to try to resolve. So it's always going to be trying to solve a puzzle. Okay. And what will typically happen when you do start to create this cognitive dissonance, your body, again, going back to the first slide on homeostasis, your body will typically revert to the old habits. So if your habits aren't entrenched in your identity, you revert to the things that are, let's say, they're not bad habits, because there's no good or bad. Remember that habits are non-conducive to your goal. So it might be kind of falling off your nutrition plan. It might be missing your cardio. It might be something very simple and low tariff, but that then builds momentum in that realm. And once you stop, it's very hard to get back in. Okay. So I think it was from the model, James Clear's model in Atomic Habits, if I'm not wrong, but he had a strag line in regards to, I think it was something along the lines that most people typically focus on outcome-based goals rather than identity-based ones. Okay, so what I mean by that is people, yes, you will all be working towards getting a certain weight, a certain body fat, a certain lean mass, skeletal mass, etc. But kind of rather than just hyper-focusing on that one main goal, how you talk to yourself from a kind of, whether it's journaling, whether it's meditation, all those sort of things like, I'm a healthy, disciplined man. I'm a person that does this. This is the person I am. I'm really over kind of whelming yourself with that sort of internal dialogue rather than I'm going to lose 20 pounds is going to be important, because that doesn't then kind of allow you to just be tied to the outcome. We want to be process-derived individuals, and we want to understand and enjoy the process so we can repeat it over and over again. So when you get to your leanest weight, when you get to your kind of best shape, shall we say, not just physically and aesthetically, but mentally as well, we've got a formula for success where we can keep you there. Okay. So for me, kind of understanding the role of identity versus behavior is always important. So if we go back to kind of the first slide, kind of your nervous system as well will typically kind of adapt to your identity. So again, if you see yourself as undisciplined or burned out and those sort of things, your ANS will reinforce that state by increasing the time spent in sympathetic drive. So we know that fight or flight part of your nervous system. So again, the ANS is going to reinforce that. It's going to keep you reactive and impulsive in situations that typically are not as well, which again is another sympathetic response. But also what it's going to do unconsciously is suppress long-term behavior regulation. So essentially, if your identity doesn't evolve with your actions, your nervous system has got the ability sometimes to pull you backwards. So see how the psychological and the biology side is all intricately linked. And I talk to my guys a lot about nervous system. I probably bore them to death, but understanding the link between the brain and the nervous system is super important because, again, in my opinion, humans in society nowadays spend too much time in sympathetic drive. The world we live in currently is hyper stressed. Everybody you meet, you speak to kind of is just uber stressed. They're not sleeping. They're not looking after themselves. Whereas if we can be the 1% that change that, and again, place a massive emphasis on kind of improving our central nervous system and spending as much time in parasympathetic nervous system dominance as possible. Because the rule of thumb is we want to spend 70% of our day in parasympathetic dominance, roughly, and 25 to 30% of our day in sympathetic drive, only when required, which you'll have heard Ben say. I can honestly say there's very few people, myself included, that spend 70% of my day in parasympathetic dominance. There's always going to be things coming in that kind of try to disrupt the cycle. So if we have a massive focus on calming the mind, calming the nervous system, the carryover that effect to think very objectively when it comes to typical situation that you kind of fall off a wagon, shall we say, it becomes a lot easier and a lot clearer. Then we move into predictive coding and self-image. So your brain will typically use predictive models to reduce uncertainty. So quite often when your actions begin to produce no outcomes, so things like, let's say, confidence, compliments, results, what will typically happen in your brain can sometimes flag this as inconsistent with your typical model. Okay, so without reinforcing a new model of yourself, essentially, the brain will kind of create anxiety. So kind of again, it will unconsciously sabotage success to restore what was hopefully your old identity stability. So reinforcing those changes psychologically is going to be important. So going back to what we said earlier on in regards to making outcomes identity based as opposed to outcome based is going to help create a little bit more positive identity stability, which again, if we look at it in a, on a broad scale, kind of your brain is typically, it would rather be certain and unsuccessful than uncertain and growing. Because remember, our body requires certainty, it requires homeostasis, it requires balance. So anything that throws that off is going to kind of create that. So I think understanding kind of how we can start to change, which will be the next slide, those predictive models and what we can start to do. And there won't be anything different to what you've heard your coach say or anything we've done, but hopefully that gives you a little bit more insight into kind of the biology of progress and regression and the psychology. And it's not just as easy as kind of, oh, I fell off a wagon, because there's a lot more entrenched internally and understanding how to control the mind. And the mind is such a big muscle when it comes to everything overriding. So not just, as I've said, the training, the aesthetics, it all comes down to kind of parenting, relationships with spouses, all those sort of things. One of the biggest things I've helped quite a few of my guys work on is things like communication, like understanding how to communicate effectively, not to trigger yourself or create a stimulus from past experience is super important. So just understanding the role of the psychological and the biological side of kind of what you're dealing with. And it sounds very deep in what I've said, but these are the processes that your body are going through on a daily basis. So if there's any call to change your identity and start living with identity-based values, sorry, it's this sort of thing. Because as I've said, the body, and as we're saying right at the start, kind of your body, seeing what's under the hood and really working on the psychological and the biological side of your body, your aesthetic side will thank you. And it's just going to put you into a better position to achieve your goals. And then the last part of a psychology part is the success hangover. So again, I put this in there because again, this will probably be a relevance to quite a few of you. I know it has to me in the past. Okay. Typically after a win and after success, your system will often lack urgency. So again, going back to the biological side, cortisol drop, dopamine drop, focus will typically wane because you feel like you've achieved something. Okay, so what will then happen is you start to begin to unconsciously negotiate with yourself, with the standards that got you there. So, typical examples, oh, I'll skip this one meal. I've earned a rest day. I can relax for a bit. They're all things that happen when somebody's achieved a goal. Okay, so what that would typically be categorized as kind of reward dysregulation. So, when urgency fades, entropy wins. Quite often. So if there's any, like we've always said, is yes, you always want to have a goal. And remember, goals, I'm talking about things within the kind of physical realm here in regards to aesthetics and stuff, but this doesn't change across the board for parenting, spousal support, friends, being a child. So understanding that these kind of systems can be created across the board tenfold as opposed to just in this area. But again, we want to get out of the fact where we unconsciously negotiate. And if you've got a stimulated system and there's an element of sympathetic dominance in there, what decisions do you think you're going to make? You're going to reach for that food that's non-conducive. You're going to neglect the gym and not go in because you've had that negotiation. So by having an operating system, and this is where the 16-hour audit and those sort of things come in. If you've got a foolproof system, and my guys will know I'm a bit OCD in the detail, like I work from home most of the time, but every hour of my day is set up. Like I've got something in every hour, and that's the only thing that I will do. That's how my brain works anyway. But if I fall away from that system, I'm not saying I'm going to kind of fall off a wagon and all hell's going to break loose, but it allows me to think clearly and be very objective with everything that I do. I speak to my guys. I train. Obviously, I work from home, being in the UK. A lot of my calls to the US and Canada are typically evening time, so they're afternoons for me. So I don't have to be quote unquote up in the morning. I'm in the gym training at 5 to 5:30 a.m. every morning. And I could facilitate going at most time during the morning around my work here, but I don't because it's an operating system that works for me. I start my day off, I get back, I walk the dog. That's all done by 7:30, 8 o'clock. And then I start my day because I know that if I let it slide a couple of days, it doesn't just bleed into, oh, that's okay, I'm training a little bit later. It bleeds into other things that I've got to do, work and other things that happen. So you'll see on the next slide, kind of, I've wrote down kind of how to rewire for long-term consistency. But one of the biggest things for me is timings. I've got a client that works nights and what he's got shift work, which is a little bit more difficult. But most of you guys that have a little bit more autonomy over your diary, working hours and those sort of things. And Chris will laugh because I always say him in regards to systems and just making sure we keep everything the same. Is once you get into a steady flow, again, those neural loops that kind of are creating in the brain, it becomes consistent and you don't have to think about it. When you're starting a process and you're changing things, there has to be conscious action. You have to think about it and say, right, I've got to do this, I've got to do now. But what we want to be doing with everything that we do, barring disasters and those guys that got young children, sometimes sleeping patterns and stuff can throw it off. But we want everything to become subconscious. We want everything to just happen, matter of fact, without us thinking about it. Because how often, from a food perspective, have you got home and kind of you've not prepped your food and you think, oh God, what can I eat? And you negotiate with yourself, right? And you have a meal that's non-conducive. You eat what the kids are eating. You steal off a kid's plate. It happens. It's normal human behavior. But if we have an operating system in place where your actions are very subconscious, it takes out the almost the risk of kind of falling back and kind of reverting back to type until the changes have become identity-based and have been substantiated with kind of full-blown proof time and time again that this is who you are. This is not what you do. This is who you are. And again, just to kind of reiterate from there, it's not for some people, it's not eating perfectly. It's not training every day. It's understanding that there needs to be a relative balance. I had a call with Sal today, one of my clients, and kind of with he has a date night every night with his wife, away from the kids. And kind of we've built that in regards to kind of he may have a glass of wine, he may have kind of a few bits, but as I've said to him, his operating system is that's important to him. That's a value-based product where he gets to spend a bit of quality time with his wife, and that's important. I can't say take your Tupperware with your chicken rice and broccoli, and I'd never dream of doing that. So we've created a strategy around it because it's part of who he is, identity and values. And I'm not for 1 second to any of you guys listening to this call saying, this is what I want your operator to do. This is something you've got to kind of curate. This is something you've got to look at and think of. But understand that kind of you can still get incredible results with anything we choose within reason. And just basing it all around identity is going to be super important. Okay. And then the last slide I've got is the exciting one. So kind of looking at everything that we've just gone through, how do we then rewire for long-term consistency? So again, subheading, you don't need more willpower, you need more systemic alignment. So hopefully by now you'll have heard that the kind of there's a method to my madness and understanding that kind of I've already spoke about a few of these things that kind of are going to help you on your route to creating that autonomy and creating kind of that foolproof system that when things do wobble and things are out of equilibrium, you're able to bring them back in kind of within good time. Because I always say, and I've always said with clients throughout my career, though I've had those clients that go out on a Friday night and they kind of have a skinful, let's say, or they eat a meal that's non-conducive. They go and have a pizza and a pudding and all those sort of things, which again is not bad. It's just not conducive to their goals. For me, it's not the actual action in sense. It's what happens after that and your reaction to that situation. So what would people typically do? Oh, it's Friday night. They wake up on Saturday morning with a hangover. Oh, I'll start again on Monday. Okay. The kind of regression doesn't happen in that one meal because if somebody's eating 4 meals a day over a 7-day period, we know that's 28 meals. You eat one meal out of 28 that's out of kilter, that's less than 5%. So you're still 95% compliant. People will still get results at 95%. It is the actions after that and your recovery or your recovery from that actual action itself. So for me, it's understanding when things do fall out of, which are always going to do, we're human, things are going to happen. There's going to be a work party or something, you have a few too many, stuff's going to happen, and banning yourself from it is not feasible for the rest of your life, but being selective is. But kind of it's your reaction to that and your operating system that you kick into, that's subconscious, that's going to lead you back to towards your goals as quick as possible. So from a system alignment standpoint, sorry, first thing is train the autonomic nervous system. Okay, so typically people will quit because the nervous system can't kind of deal with sustained demand. So we know that sympathetic drive, sympathetic diet, sympathetic drive. So the counteract to that is do more parasympathetic tone. So those of you guys that do your tracker and wearables, you know, the massive prominence on HRV at the moment and autonomic training. So obviously things like zone two cardio, nasal breathing, things like cold exposure, which will be a bit more difficult for you, Rob, at the moment, in all that warmth, cold exposure. A big one for me that I love personally, that I think kind of should be a tool in everybody's arsenal, is breath work. Okay. Typically, people do breath work before sleep, but I utilize breath work throughout the day just because I know that I'm an adrenaline derived individual, as you can tell by how quick that I speak. But I'm very kind of antsy. It doesn't take long for me to shoot up. So I use breathing practices throughout the day. When I was working in a gym, when I used to have a couple of sessions back to back and I was heightened, I would go to the toilet, have a pee, probably too much information. I'd have a sit down pee and just do a little breath work for 2 minutes. So just take 2 minutes back. So breath work, yes, you can do it for 10, 20, 30 minutes, but don't be afraid to do short bouts of breath work as well if you feel that you're in a bit of a sympathetic dominant state. So breath work and just trying to reestablish a good balance with that heart rate variability is important. Obviously, those of you guys that are not doing it, do your cardio, because zone two cardio is fantastic. Nasal breathing when you're just walking or when you're doing your cardio, but also cold exposure. So anything that's going to help with calming that sympathetic tone is going to be important. I find reading is really helpful as well. But create a strategy within your working day where you're actively and intentionally kind of trying to train that parasympathetic tone. Okay, and if you're not doing that, that's the biggest thing that you can take away from today. Because as I said previously, so many people spend a lot of time in sympathetic dominance. So just making sure that we know that training itself is an acute stressor, but trying to spend as much time doing a little bit more parasympathetic work as possible is good as well, especially with the nature of life. Then we move into kind of neuroplasticity. So essentially just making the new default. Okay, so I've always says the key to lasting change is deep repetition. Okay, and I'm probably, if you saw my life, you guys would think, gosh, Dan's so boring. But it's the same behaviors, same time, same environment. I understand that there is context to that, and it sometimes can't be that easy, especially when you've got young kids and other commitments. So I totally understand. But that doesn't mean around that you can't stop. Whether you've got 5 hours a day, whether you've got a full 16 hours before your 8 hours sleep, whatever you've got, create behaviors, times, repetitions. So I'm big with my guys eating the same time, the same morning routine, the same evening routine. Try to create a continuation because that's when it becomes easier. So kind of, you guys have heard me say this before, I'm a big believer in kind of how you start your day is how the day goes, and then how you finish your day is typically how your sleep goes. And if you can take control of just the first hour of your day where possible, ideally an hour before the kids get up, the last part of your day before you put your head to rest, and you create a bulletproof system within those, everything in between, we can start to strategize. But just making sure that you kind of have the same behaviors, the same times, and the same environment, just simply because the brain wires through repetition. Neuroplasticity will change through repetition and emotional salience. Okay, so alongside that, it's important to add rewards to the process, not just the outcome. So track streaks. So obviously, I know that Everfit has the streaks on there. Kind of reflect on it and kind of on how it feels to be disciplined and kind of celebrate your success, which is super important. And most importantly, affirmations are big for me. Even if it's one affirmation a day, try to affirm that new identity every day. Because again, it might be one thing. As I've told you, some of you guys before, when I first started therapy, gosh, a long time ago, for pretty much 6 months straight, the only thing I wrote every single day was I am enough from old issues that I had. And it was just, I am enough for 6 months straight before I could move on because I didn't really enjoy it, but I committed to kind of something and I just wrote, I am enough for 6 months straight. Okay, so it doesn't matter what it is, do it. Okay, if it's one affirmation, two affirmations, three. So for me, kind of affirmations alongside breath work are kind of the keyhole to kind of internal. From a kind of psychological perspective, in regards to reaffirming that positive internal dialogue, but also from a central nervous system standpoint, that parasympathetic dominance as well. So I think it was Hebb's law, I think it was, that said neurons that fire together wire together. Okay, so if you think about that principle off there, kind of that's always a good kind of basis to have. And then lastly, in those three is stack internal external systems. So your internal systems are going to be things like your identity, your values, your recovery, your behavior, and things like your precision. Okay. And your external is going to be curating your environment, your checklists, obviously coaching with us guys, and having accountability to us as coaches, but your nearest and dearest as well. So being able to stack both the internal external systems is going to be super important. So if we wanted to create that almost into a three-step design, so we look at kind of the trigger. So the trigger is going to be the same cue every day. So it might be coffee or calendar or whatever you do first thing in the morning, electrolytes. Then you've got the action, which is the minimal effective habit. So it might be walking, prepping your food, filling in your tracker, for instance, and then your reward. So your reward is your dopamine loop. So your reflection, identity or anchor to your identity, and then you're tracking as well. So basically, for me, simplicity and consistency will beat motivation every time. I've heard that off somebody, but I'm not sure who I heard it off. But simplicity and consistency will beat motivation because we know in times of stress, which I said in one of the previous webinars, when our body's under a lot of duress and a lot of stress, the first thing that goes is motivation and discipline. It's very hard to maintain discipline when you're under the cosh a little bit. So simplicity and consistency, that's subjective to each and every one of you on this call, is going to be important. And strategizing that 16-hour audit, looking at the habit tracker itself of your tracker, and kind of if you have to change them every week in relation to how your week looks like, that's a great goal. I like to go with my guys is I get them to fill in that habit tracker themselves every single week so we can curate what kind of your week's looking like. And if there's any changes, it just holds them and me a little bit more accountable to each other in regards to that. So in regards to closing that new framework, kind of there's almost a three-part alignment I'd typically look at. So you've got the biological capacity, which again is training that nervous system, the psychological identity, which is rewrite the model and understanding whether the model serves you from an identity standpoint, and then the systematic simplicity, which is making success automatic. So again, biological capacity, which is train the nervous system. So again, trying to work through that ANS. The psychological identity, which is rewriting the model, which is subjective to yourselves. And then that systematic simplicity, which makes success automatic and makes it more of a unconscious action than having to lean into the conscious too much. Because if you have to think about something, the chances are something else is going to come in to disrupt the cycle and it's going to be a thing of the past. So for me, that's pretty much it in regards to the slides today. So obviously we've looked at the biology, the psychology of kind of progress regression, and kind of, I don't like to say, I wrote quitting reluctantly, but quitting and primarily self-sabotage, but then just looking at a few other things that we can start to do to rewire the system and kind of get you guys moving forward. So Obviously, that's my slides done. So obviously, ask if you guys have got any questions, any thoughts, kind of give me an update if kind of you guys went in with further information on anything that we've spoken about today, or you've got any questions related to kind of what you guys are going through at the moment. No
Yeah, Dan, I
questions.
was going to ask. I know through Everfit, there's some breathwork stuff that gets added, in with some workouts. Is that content accessible, like on the MI Academy website somewhere, like on demand, where we can go?
I think it may be. Max, is that available on the Academy? And if not, can we get it on the Academy at all? Max will know more than me. But in regards to kind of all the a lot of it, best to email Josie. Thanks, buddy. So I don't think it's available on the Academy itself. I know we did have some breathwork a while ago, but I'll double check. If it's not, I'll see if we can get that added. But also, kind of Andrew should have access to all of it on the actual kind of Everfit itself, so we can get everything kind of added to your program if that's something you want to do. Again, if you want easy breathing as well, kind of I'm a big believer in box breathing, so a simple bit of breathing. So obviously you'll do a lot of diaphragmatic breathing and those sort of things, but simple box breathing with a slow exhaler are good for me. So I always say when there's any sort of times where I'm a little bit elevated, a big inhale for probably 4 seconds, a 4 second hold, and then an 8 second exhale. That's typically the route I'd go do to go through kind of just for a minute or two, just to calm my nervous system down. So with any sort of kind of parasympathetic dominance that we're looking for, we're looking more for the slow exhale than the kind of short, sharp breath. So bigger inhale for four, hold for four, and then a large exhale. And if you just repeat that kind of for four or five rounds until you feel yourself calm down, that should be sufficient. But any other breath work, I think Andrew will be able to get in as well, buddy. Any other questions, boys?
This one's kind of actually open, Dan. I'm not really sure how to ask it actually, but in the discussion of everything that's on the science-based level, there's also the real everyday level. So, is there anything that is attached in the program anywhere that is about cueing? Because sometimes cueing is a really great way to develop the habit, which develops the changes, which moves us into a different place. I'll say, weirdly, I've been reading a lot of different psychological books, and of course, I'm one of those people that just finished the Let Them Theory. In fact, I just finished something about it today. So anyhow, just all the different types of leading to creating habits through practice. And sometimes the practice looks like the coach and the board on the wall, literally leading you into what's next until it's natural again. So is that something that is there? I haven't really researched too much because I'm a person that like the driving down the highway and I'm in the middle of a conversation. I'm the guy that goes, "Oh, cows." Like it just so I can be
No,
bumped easily.
I think what I typically do with my guys, Darren, to do that for anything like that is kind of use the habit tracker on the far right of the tracker. Like with any of my guys, when I want to instill practices, I'll typically use the habit tracker, or we'll communicate it on kind of our weekly calls. But I'm sure kind of with your coach, you'll be able to create strategies. And if that's a route that you want to go down after reading what you're reading at the moment, kind of that's something that your coach should be able to build in, no problem at all. Because I'm the same. I'm very shiny, new shiny object syndrome, kind of. So I understand what you're saying, and kind of just having it that as probably one of your daily goals to achieve within your habit tracker would be a great route to start with, just to create that autonomy. So it might be, again, with some of my guys, it is just 2 10 minutes. Excuse me, 10 minutes of breath work a day. It won't be scheduled in Everfit, but one of your goals is to do 10 minutes of breath work a day. So using that habit tracker to get that in wouldn't be the worst thing in the world as well. If you find that kind of cows are more important than
Shiny
getting
object.
others above the
Okay, great. Thanks. Appreciate it.
No worries at all, buddy. any other questions in regards to books and references for today's material, Pat. That's pr I wrote a lot of the stuff off my own back in regards to kind of my knowledge around there. But any literature around anything in specific, if you want any of the topics today, there will be kind of books and literature available. I mean, as I said to you, one of the biggest ones that I think I referenced a little bit earlier on is James Clear, Atomic Habits. If you, again, from a habit forming perspective, that's a fantastic book. It'd be one to start with. And then from Atomic Habits, I mean, as you can see on my bookshelf, a lot of these books here are all psychology, kind of alongside other bits and bobs. But if there's any other books after reading Atomic Habits that tickle your fancy, or kind of any areas you want to delve into, feel free to shoot me a message, mate, and I can send you a couple of books, reading lists, and those sort of things if it's something you're interested in delving a little bit deeper into, buddy. But I'd definitely start with Atomic Habits to start with by James Clear, and then go from there. Right, guys. I've actually finished on time. I usually don't get finished till late because I'm always talking. But as always, boys, thank you for attending. I'm wishing you all a great start to year. Go dominate January. For those of you guys that are listening to this call, if you have any questions, as I said, coach Dan at muscleintelligence.com. I hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you for spending an hour with me today. And anything you guys need moving forward, please give me a shout. But I look forward to seeing you guys all again soon. Take care, chaps. Bye bye.
Thanks, Dan. That was great.
Thanks, Dan. Bye.
Bye bye.